How's it going, Sha?
You know, not bad. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Getting ready for a road trip. You know? Yeah, I haven't been on the road with the family since before quarantine. Like the year before, I think we did a drive to Florida, my cousin's my brother-in-law's wedding, and we also did like a Disney trip. This time I'm doing a show up in Portland, Maine. So I'm gonna take the kids and the wife, spend the weekend up there. It's gonna be cute. I'm excited.
It's gonna be cute. What do you have planned?
So I'm gonna do the show Friday. I'm gonna get there Friday, but I'm gonna leave early enough that like we can make like stops along the way. I'm gonna look up some like cool cuisine options on the drive up.
Okay,
that I'm hoping are like indicative of the area.
So like seafood, is that what they eat in Maine? Seafood?
And that, well, I want to find some stuff like along the way that are interesting. Maine, I want to do seafood. I got to look up what are their, the kids got allergies to different seafoods. That's the other thing. I got to find what one kid can eat that the other kid can't.
Oh no. What are they allergic to? Like shellfish?
Yeah. Like one of them is like shellfish and the other one is like cod or something. So it's like different allergies.
Gotcha.
Both of them fish related. So like me and Gabby never have like seafood when kids are present. So like we're going to break that because I'm like, yo, we can't go to Maine and like have pizza. Like that's madness.
Right, you know? Right. They probably like, put lobster on their pizza.
So. You know what I mean? So I was like, yo, these kids got to man up. So yeah, allergies or not, just bring some, you know, bring that like shot, that needle. I forget what it's called.
Oh yeah, the EpiPen. bring that shot.
Bring that shit with us and
let's bring that needle. Okay.
Let's roll the dice, you know, let's see what happens. We're gonna do the potato donuts. I keep hearing that's the thing up there.
I'm sorry, the what?
Yeah, like when I went up there last time, there's this these potato donuts that everybody talks about. They're like some lady up there like started making donuts, but instead of with dough, she uses rice potato. And like she realized that while they go staler faster, they hold flavor more. So like locally, it became like a huge thing. And every time I tried to get it during my last trip, they were sold out by the time I got to the place.
Sure.
So that's like 100% on the agenda. And I assume there's no like seafood in that. So
no, that's probably, you know, are you going to go to a Somalian restaurant?
That wasn't on my agenda, but it can be.
Well, you know that there's a big Somali population in Portland, Maine.
Oh, rock on.
Not 100% sure how that is where the landing ended up, but that is where it ended up. And so I read that like years ago and I was just like, oh wow. So as you were talking, I just looked up Portland, Maine Somali restaurants, and there are quite a few. So I'm like, oh, so then this is still a thing.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe look into that as well, because that's going to be good Somali food.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. There's a big population.
I'm pro that. So like, I love doing stuff like that. Cause like, I'm real big on seeing like, I love seeing foods from the Black diaspora from different places to see like, oh, how did we end up like how do we like change it up when we went this way?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I told you about like the gumbo and like Dominican asopado.
Yes.
You know, like I love seeing them like side by side because they're the same ingredients, but like the seasoning's different and it means the like color is a little different.
The soup
is a little thicker in one. I love seeing that stuff together to be like, oh, this is like what we do. And they're like, oh, but it don't taste like that. Oh, this tastes crazy, you know?
Right.
I mean, I don't know why I really enjoy doing that. Yeah, I'm a big fan of it.
Okay. Well, there are quite a few. If you literally just look up Portland, Maine Somali restaurants, there are a few spots here. So
hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's on my agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I actually just went to a black owned diner in Brooklyn, like a restaurant.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it is I cannot rave about it enough. It's called Peaches. Have you been?
Oh,
they have a few locations.
They have a few. I've been to one, and I went with a friend, and because of my reflux, I could eat nothing there but the napkins, because it was like
they don't do health foods.
Yeah, because it was like everything, and it was at a time where my reflux was really like finding itself and building its strength, and so like. There were shrimp and grits, but there was a lot of tomato in it in a way where I was like, oh, I can't pick this out. Like, I can't pick out the tomato. It's like in the sauce. Like, you know, I got to make a real lame shrimp and grit version at home or whatever. But yeah, so like I've been there and I've nibbled on things and then just slept upright for the next two days. But, yeah, Peaches is a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it. I had a blast. The sandwich, that's how I ended up going there first. Cause, I went there the day before cause I read good reviews. So I bought two sandwiches that they call, the best chicken sandwich anywhere. Uh-huh. That's the like menu name. So mm-hmm. I bought two of them for my sandwich show to give away to the audience.
Right.
So I normally I get a third. I didn't this time because like it was a little like steep, but I understood why, because it included like a mandatory side that we didn't give away. So like mm-hmm. I had really decadent mac and cheese while driving to the show, which was crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. All of that was wild. Like I was enjoying that way too much. It like there was a lot of honking, which now in retrospect I understood.
Because you were eating, paying much more attention to the eating.
Straight up, I was having amazing macaroni and cheese from Peaches, and I didn't understand why they couldn't be patient because of what was happening. I was like, "Yo, y'all don't understand what I'm eating right now. You wouldn't be rushing me if you had some." But yeah, it was spectacular. And then like when I get to the show, you know, I got to pull out these sandwiches at the door, and like the bouncer at we do the show at Union Hall, and the mm-hmm. bouncer at Union Hall is black, and like when I pulled it out, he's like, Peaches. I was like, how'd you... I was like, how'd you... He just looked at it. He's like, y'all was there last week. Like, he just instantly knew
from the
chicken. And I was like, yo, like, that's real.
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, Peaches, man. Is big. Like, people, yeah, that's, like, on folks' lists when they come to visit New York. And they're just like, well, I think I have to go to Peaches in Bed-Stuy, is it? And, you're like, yeah, that's right.
Straight up. I was hyped. I was like, okay, I know I got something here. I got a winner. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then like I couldn't have it because I had to give them away for the show. So I went the next day, and it's a whole experience. It's dope. Mm-hmm. But it got me excited because normally it was like, you know how like the argument against like gentrification in a lot of these neighborhoods is that like, or the argument I have with it is that we don't get the perks. You know what I mean? Like the neighborhood gets better, but we leave. Like, I'm not mad at a Starbucks opening in Brooklyn. I like Starbucks. That shit is cool. Mm-hmm. It's just I want to have it. Like, I don't want it to be there for people that move in per se only.
Right. Yeah. Why didn't you just go ahead and put one over here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Now I'm priced out and I don't get Starbucks.
Right.
Like, yeah, I get it.
You know, like I like the eclecticness of the neighborhood, but I admittedly want some of those amenities as well. And mm-hmm. I want to be a part of the community that benefits from it. That felt like part of that vision to me. Like, it was like, yo, this is a black establishment. And in every way, it's a high-end restaurant to me. Like, like, you know, not high-end, but, like, it's not like a local takeout dive. Like, that is, they have a whole thing there. And it was for locals that have always been there. It felt like, it was legitimately, like, beautiful to see that this was here. Mm-hmm. Everyone's welcome, but it's very clearly a black place.
Right.
you know? And like, I was like, yeah, this is freaking dope. You know, like I just saw like black people having brunch in Brooklyn. And I was like, oh shit. Like Jackie Robinson's crying somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I was like, yo, this is dope. Like it's the full vision. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I know I couldn't express all of that there because it would have just been weird if I'd just been crying into my chicken.
No, but like, sure. I get that.
I felt a lot like in my heart, like as a Brooklyn native of like, yo, this is dope that like, you know, Bed-Stuy and Bushwick that like people associate as like Biggie songs is like the super scary neighborhood. It's gotten better, but it's also like some of the people got displaced. But seeing that there were still people that were clearly from there who've progressed in their personal life to a place where they want to fucking have a $50 brunch.
Right.
They can also make it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And we can make one of those places where our foods and our shit this. It just got me hyped. I was like, yo, this is beautiful. You know what I mean? So yeah, shouts to Peaches. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I hope there's more shit like that. We got there's a Dominican seafood place in East New York, like two blocks from me. I don't know the name of it, but they got like red ropes outside. I don't even know if it's good, but I'm aspiring. I'm believing in y'all after I see Peaches. You know what I mean? I hope y'all winning. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I hope it's good. I hope.
Straight up. You know? Soon as I saw the Peaches, I drove by the seafood place. I was like, yo, man. Yo, y'all could do it. You know, like, I had way more faith in this place than, like, I know in my heart used to be a tire shop. And y'all are making it a food restaurant. You know what I mean? Why not? You know? Live your dreams, baby. Let's make this shit happen, babe. You want to put red ropes in front? Do it. You know? It's VIP now.
Wow. A tire shop.
Yeah, that shit popping over there, Sha. I don't even know how to do it, but it's popping. Every time I drive by that seafood store, they got a line in front. VIP right under the J train. Because they put the
ropes out.
Yo.
You can put those red velvety ropes in and just put those bare. People just stand next to it like, I don't know where this goes.
Straight up. They in
but it must
though.
Be good. These are the good ropes. These are the red ones? Come on.
Yeah, I seen people like, they got like they had the outdoor seating, you know, during COVID. When like, and this was like right when they opened. They opened during the quarantine. So I was like, yo, y'all believe in the seafood.
Right.
You freaking opening up during the middle of the quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
But like you had people out on dates and I'm like, yo, like the J train water is like dripping on you. Like we right here, you know, like this seafood gotta be amazing.
Real
that
good.
It's overcoming that. Like
yeah.
you brought a young lady out and she's still impressed despite that like dripping on her shoulder. Like she's like, nah, this seafood is crazy. I'm gonna overlook that.
Eating seafood under the train, an active train.
Straight up. And that'd I wouldn't have believed in that vision until this week. But Peaches sold me. Peaches sold me. So I want more of those restaurants out there. Keep it happening. And I'm going to see if I find some of those on the drive up to Maine this week. So, yeah, if you got any recommendations, please send them my way. I won't be able to use them because you'll hear this after the trip. in my heart, I'll make another trip back. And in my heart, I'll appreciate them, though. But, yeah. We going to Maine, baby. We going to eat at a lot of, like, black and Latin-owned establishments on the way up.
Uh-huh. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
Something just for the car. He said he's going to drive through New England, and they're going to eat at black and Latin-owned establishments.
That's right, baby. Yeah, all have food and shits.
Just have a couple of cans of Pringles in the car, just in case. You know, just a little something to snack on as you're searching.
Options might be sparse.
Yeah. They might be.
And also very late update on one of our most recent poll, which is the best sports related candy bar. 14% of our voters said the Baby Ruth. 14% said the Reggie bar.
Okay.
7% said Ken Griffey Jr.'s milk chocolate bar.
Wow.
Sleeper, I think. That was a very good bar.
Okay.
And 64% said Gastor, this is your most niche question yet. So, yeah, I get it. The audience has spoken. Our listeners, I appreciate your feedback. You know what I mean?
Admittedly,
I don't know if that's a negative or not, but I understand that you have a stance on this.
Right. Well, my favorite candy bar is the Baby Ruth.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's my favorite candy bar.
Like every
the Baby Ruth, the Baby Ruth and the whatchamacallit. Not because of baseball. I just like the Baby Ruth. It's kind of a mess. It seems like it's all held together, but it's not. It crumbles. It falls apart. It's still worth it. And the whatchamacallit, because I just like candy bars that sound like vaudeville. You know, yeah, it's the whatchamacallit. See? I like that. I like that.
I always enjoyed the Baby Ruth because it felt like when you went to buy a Snickers and your mom said, no, I can make that hit.
Yes. You know?
Yeah. It's like all the same ingredients and it's like all it the tastes same good. Stuff.
It's a mess.
Like
it is a mess. It's like when little... you used to it is. It's like when I used to grow up making burgers in a toaster oven. It's not... I mean, it's a burger.
Oh man. And yeah. As soon as I saw that shit the first time, I'm like, oh, okay, I can see this, you know. I remember it was like asking my mom to make a Big Mac at home. Like those burgers was amazing, but it didn't look like the picture.
Nope, you know? Not at all.
Let's get into the news.
All right.
Kraft Macaroni and Cheese is changing its name, Sha.
What?
Kraft Macaroni and Cheese is changing its name after 85 years. The household staple is now called Kraft Mac and Cheese, which is meant to reflect the way fans organically talk about the brand. The company announced on Wednesday. Packaging featuring the new name will hit shelves in August, along with the shortened name.
That doesn't count. We're already calling it mac and cheese. Bruh. Just because you decided to.
You see, I'm conspiracy theorist with shit like this. Okay. Like, this reminds me of like when Kentucky Fried Chicken went to KFC and everybody's like, yeah, that's because they stopped using chicken. So they don't say chicken no more.
Okay.
So they think you can't legally hold them. You know what I mean? So I feel like this is Kraft's way of saying, yeah, there's no macaroni in the mac and cheese.
Okay, you know? That's silly because all you have to do for the chicken thing is just misspell chicken and then you can legally say it's not. It's like when you got what was the frozen pizza brand that also came with Wang's? Was it Freschetta, I think, which is the best frozen pizza brand, by the way. But it was like a pizza and then chicken Wangs, WANGZ. And that was their way. Someone explained, oh, that's because legally it's not like a chicken wing. It's a Wangs. It's not really a chicken. And so I'm like, oh, that's wild. But I think mac and cheese, like who? Like they even said in their commercials, mac and cheese, like the newer ones, you know, mac and cheese, everyone called it mac and cheese. So to officially call it that, it's like, bruh, we ain't even, no one's even doing like, I mean, I think the bigger story is that they, I don't know this because I don't really mess with Kraft mac and cheese much because. Yeah. The OG kind, you had to add like milk and butter. You had to make the sauce, like you had to make a roux basically. And I was like, well, I don't live in a house where we have milk here, you know? <We're laughs> So I just went straight up Velveeta because the cheese was already there and all you had to do was squeeze it in.
Right.
Now that I see that they have thick and creamy, which I assume is where you can just squeeze in the cheese and spirals, which is also a thing Velveeta did. That to me is bigger than the fucking that is called mac and cheese now.
Yeah, the spirals I thought was news. I ain't gonna front. I ain't know that. Oh, I'm curious how the box work because like I bought mac and cheese for my kids, but it's like the just add water because it's already in the cups, like the
right,
like the chicken noodle soup.
Oh, like those. Oh, wow. They do that?
Yeah, that's how I've only seen it. That's why I don't like Kraft mac and cheese. Like,
wait, hold on. You've only seen those weird, like, cups?
Yeah.
You've not seen a box?
Not in the 13 years I've been shopping for it. I've never ate it as a kid because I always saw it that way. And then my kids liked it. So I was like, all right, I'll buy this, like, kind of junk foodish. And the only reason I bought it is because it was like a weird way of teaching them to be like self-efficient in the kitchen. They felt like they cooked,
Right.
All
yeah.
All I had to do was add water. So I felt confident they can handle that. But that's all it is.
That's wild because I've never seen that version of a mac and cheese. And I mean, we didn't, my mother would just make mac and cheese, which I mean, she's passed away now. So I think I can say this. It wasn't really good mac and cheese. And so, which, I mean, people are like, what? How can a black woman not make good mac and cheese? Well, first of all, she added onions to everything. So that's an issue. And it just wasn't cheesy enough for me, you know? Okay. She managed to get the crust on and everything, but there wasn't enough. I needed, like, underneath that, I wanted, like, a nice kind of oozy cheese. And she never did that. And so I'm just like, and there's onions I got to pick out. Cause she cut them onions thin as fuck. We had just slivers, long slivers of onions. We got to pick out. Anyway,
you try to sneak in vegetables. Okay. Sha?
No, that's not it. She just loved onions. She didn't like vegetables, but she loved onions. She put that shit on everything. We finally were just like, look, you need to cut your own onions, put it on a plate somewhere, and then just bring that plate with you to the table and sprinkle it all over your servings. Cause you're killing us. But yeah, I mean, I know I'm familiar with the box version. That's like box mac and cheese. Whenever anyone says box mac and cheese, that's what they're talking about. Like the whole adding water thing is a relatively new thing. And I didn't even know they were doing it. But I'm sure over the past like 20, 25 years, maybe it's what they've been doing it where they've stepped up. They've kind of stepped up add water to stuff technology, you know, and But in the box is what I'm talking about, where you have to add milk and butter and you have to mix it with their powdered cheese. That's okay. Why the boxes were just, people had them. They, you know, like in lean times, people really relied on, you know, Kraft mac and cheese boxes because you added milk and or water or whatever and butter and you mix that shit up and then you'd mix that into the mac, but you were making the sauce yourself. And I didn't want to do that. That's like extra bowls. You know, that's an extra spoon. That's an extra all of that stuff. Whereas when Velveeta came out, the cheese sauce was already in a pack, like soft. And all you had to do was cook the noodles and then you just squeeze that stuff out of the packet and mix that in. Man, they had one where they had little broccoli florets, little freeze-dried broccoli florets, and you can put that in there too. Velveeta was doing some shit, right?
Okay.
And so I was like, never mind Kraft mac and cheese. And I was the only one in my house eating Velveeta. My mom's like, why would you eat that crap? And I'm like, because there are no onions. Jesus.
But, I know that like after seeing it, I never wanted it. And I enjoy mac and cheese, but I always just wanted it like, I felt like if you don't buy the parts separate, you got to deal with this powder crap.
Right.
The only one that I saw that was real cheese was Cracker Barrel. They made like a real cheese one.
Okay. Cause I remember there's a Cracker Barrel brand cheese.
Yeah. Not like the restaurant.
Not the restaurant. Yeah. Let's clear that up. Anyone who doesn't know, to me, the OG, to me, Cracker Barrel is a type of cheese, like a brand of cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
My parents would buy that too, like blocks and then like cut that off. And yeah. So I could see where they would make a mac and cheese too.
Yeah. That was solid. But,
yeah. I wasn't even, we weren't a Velveeta house. We were a Cracker Barrel cheese house.
Yeah.
But Velveeta already had like the sauce thing. And I was like, oh, I wonder how easy that is, what I have to mix to it. And it's like, it's already mixed, you know?
That's
so
pretty dope. Rock on. I should have been buying Velveeta for my kids this whole time.
Yeah, well, it's too late right now. You're going to block up their arteries no matter which one you get for them.
I do love the idea of the Sharp family having an onion intervention with your mom.
Oh my God. Every time.
Oh man. And other news, Kellogg to separate into three companies focusing on snacks, cereal, and plant-based foods. That's right. Kellogg is planning to separate.
Kellogg, that's not what we go to you for. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
I love when you're genuinely angry, Sha.
It's always food related. ain't no one asking for this. No one. Whatever.
The last episode, we talked about tax dollars going to schools that needed money but had issues getting funding because.
And I was just like, I don't know. I mean, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
We talk about potato chips and cereal, and Sean's like, hold up, B. Y'all going too far.
Yeah, I know.
Kellogg is planning to separate into three independent public companies, sectioning off its iconic brands into distinct snacking, cereal, and plant-based businesses. The shares of the company rose 8% in a pre-market trading, but closed up only 1.9% following the news. Kellogg's $2.7 billion purchase of Pringles signaled the company's shift into focusing on global snacks as people increasingly started eating between meals. Kellogg, along with rivals like Frito-Lay owner PepsiCo and Oreo cookie owner Mondelez, have leaned into the trend by introducing more snacks and snapping up smaller brands. Clif Bar, for example, being bought by Mondelez this past week for $2.9 billion. Cereal sales, by contrast, have stagnated in the U.S. as people tend to eat more on the go. Brands including Special K, Fruit Loops, and Rice Krispies for decades have been the foundation of Kellogg, but are no longer seen as key growth drivers for the company. The pandemic briefly revived the cereal category as consumers ate from home, but Kellogg expects a flat return growth for the U.S. So, company's going to be splitting up into brands. Pringles, Cheez-It, Pop-Tarts, and RX bars, which reported $11.4 billion in revenue, will rep one portion of it. The snack foods, right? Those are the snack food ones. I mentioned some of the cereal ones earlier, and the plant-based portion of it will be led by the Morningstar Farms as its anchor brand. That business reported $340 million in sales, tends to be the smallest one of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because ain't no one turning to that. Well, of course, they don't have Kellogg's on the top of Morningside. Like, that's its own thing. People know that for what it is, and I don't think anyone. Well, maybe they learned when there was that big, wasn't there a big strike of Kellogg stuff like last year? Remember we were, because they were working their people too hard?
Oh, yeah, and they didn't wanna, one of the factories.
Yeah, and so they were just like, okay, here are the things that you can't get from, I think it was Kellogg, because there was like no waffles, none of these cereals, and then they're like in Pringles, and I was like, Pringles? God damn, y'all taking Pringles from me? So, I think how I learned that
Kellogg does a lot of shit.
Kellogg does own a lot of shit. Yes, absolutely. Wow. Okay, well, I mean, I see what they mean by cereal not doing what it do. You know, because it used to be you sat the kid down before they went to school, they ate a whole bowl of sugar, and then you sent them out for the teachers to deal with it. And now it has to be in a bar form, or kids are actually drinking coffee, which I think is probably what's wrong with Gen Z right now, is that they're raised on coffee. But, you know, when really you should just fucking give them some sugar smacks and call it a day, but that's not what's going to happen.
I thought about this while reading this. Mm-hmm. I feel like both of my kids combined haven't had a handful of cereals in their whole life. Mm. Like, really? I feel highly confident that in total they might have had five bowls of cereal in their whole life. They do not eat it.
Do you not just buy cereal for them or what?
We have cereal in the house every day. It's just they don't eat it. They're like, they do waffles instead. They've been like, Eggos, and then they do eggs and breakfast sandwiches. That's their, if they're alone, they do the Eggos, because that's like something they could pop in a toaster. On the weekends, when they wake up first, they do eggs and plantains, because mm-hmm. she can cook that. And we make them like that, or like and then like once a weekend, me and Gabby will take turns cooking. I'll do like a bacon, egg, and cheese, like more of an American thing. Mm-hmm. More of a like a meat thing, I guess. And then Gabby will do the like sweets. She'll do like pancakes and shit. They've never associated cereal as a meal. And like we've explained it to them. We've shown like us eating it. And we eat mm-hmm. it regularly, me and Gabby. We always have like, not as much as I used to growing up, but I would say me and Gabby probably have like a bowl a week.
Right.
So they know it's a thing, but it's just never called them.
Not their thing. Yeah, that's interesting to me, because like You know, that's just the tide turning on what was considered a staple for so many years. Because, yeah. I mean, I imagine there are parents who are just like, well, the cereals are too sugary. I'm not giving that to my kids. Right. But then, you know, then they came out with, I don't know, Mucilex or whatever the one with the, whatever the brand is with the two friends on the box and it's just like straw on the inside or whatever. And so, but those are probably not good. Right? And so it's like, what then? So, and kids are probably running off, like going places. So cereal bars are probably easier, you know, but those are cereal bars in the way that I guess maybe someone crumpled up some Special K in the bowl before they made them. But for the most part, you know,
they make cereal the same way they make chicken nuggets. You know what I mean?
Just yes. Right. They're just pressed
shit together.
Yeah. And so I get it. So, I mean, I understand why I understand why they're just like, yeah, no, we definitely saw a bump during the pandemic, but that's not going to last forever because overall, like a society has changed.
Yeah. I thought the pandemic bump was like people over 30 self like soothing.
Yes, right. I think that's it. Because I think, you know, kids your age, since it wasn't their normal go-to, it's not like now they're locked in the house. They're like, oh, I gotta calm down. Let me pour a bowl of whatever. And so that's just not how they've gone. And I think even older than your kids, probably that's not how they've gone. And that was really for like older millennials and Gen X to just fucking like, I can't take it. And they gotta eat a box of something.
Yeah, I still get overstressed like that every now and then. Like, yeah, about like a real crazy month, I just like, yo, I need a real big bowl of like I don't know, like corn pops.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I need like a cereal that like I feel like I was 12 and the world made sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I need a bowl of that shit. I need to eat it. It can't be like a normal like breakfast bowl. It's got to be like the Gabby's mixing dough to make like baked
goods. Oh, yeah. No. We've moved beyond a regular size bowl. We're into like Corningware. Yeah. we're eating out of food storage tubs now. That's where we are. And you're always like, I don't remember these boxes being so small. And it's like, oh, well,
maybe your bowl is a little bit. My ass.
Yeah.
Emptied this out right here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, Kellogg's, I don't care about the other brands, really. Just keep my cereal, you know what I mean, when I need it. Okay, I need to be able to know it's there.
Okay, yeah, don't mess with Frosted Flakes. I saw recently that they had like Frosted Flakes with marshmallows. Someone sent that to me, and I was just like, that's not a marshmallow
at all
type of cereal. Why would you do that? Like, stop. Don't try to innovate for people who don't want innovation, who are eating for nostalgic sake.
Yeah.
Just fucking let it roll off the way it rolls off.
Leave it alone, B. That tiger's already too hyped. You need to add more sugar to that.
Absolutely. That's just a different kind of sweet. Also.
Yeah, it's madness. It doesn't match. No.
Yeah.
New safe sleep guidelines for baby stress. No co-sleeping, crib decorations, or inclined products. Co-sleeping under any circumstances is not safe for infant sleep. The American Academy of Pediatrics stressed on Tuesday in its first updates to its sleep safe sleep guidelines for babies since 2016. We know that many parents choose to share a bed with the child, for instance, perhaps to help with breastfeeding or because of a cultural preference or a belief that it is safe, said Dr. Rebecca Carlin, who co-authored the guidelines and technical report from the AAP Task Force or Sudden Infant Death Syndrome and the AAP Committee on Fetus and Newborns. The evidence is clear that co-sleeping significantly raises the risk of a baby's injury or death. For that reason, the AAP cannot support bed sharing under any circumstances. It is one of a number of recommendations the AAP provided to pediatrics to help stem the tide of infant sleep deaths. Some 3,500 infants, many of whom are in socially disadvantaged communities, die from sleep-related infant deaths in the U.S. each year.
That's a lot.
Right? I was surprised by the number. That's why I included this. It was a little jarring, surprising, quite honestly. The rate of sudden unexpected infant deaths amongst Black and American Indian, Alaska Native infants was more than double and almost triple, respectively, that of white infants, 85 per 100,000 live births in 2010 to 2013.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, yo, that's like real numbers.
Oh my gosh, that's wild.
That was like legit trippy.
All right, so let's see. What do they want us to do? Leave them. Babies should sleep in the same room with their parents for at least 6 months on a separate sleep surface.
Yep.
With a firm flat surface. Okay. And then after that, I guess they could be in another room.
Yeah. And I admittedly, like, a lot of that makes sense to me. Like, I know, like, as a parent, I was always exhausted. So, like, I only woke up because Gabby told me to woke up. Like,
right.
I didn't wake up alone. And what I would do is I'd move into bed. And I love my kid, but I'd have rolled over both of them dudes.
Absolutely. I have heard of a few cases of people rolling over on their children. And that, to me, just seems, that's got to be devastating.
Yeah. I don't want to wake up.
Yeah, I don't, that. I mean, I don't know about that.
Gabby's a full-on adult, and I know she has to punch me 3 to 4 times to wake me up when I roll over on her. Like, I'll fully roll on her arm or a leg, and she, like, yo, it takes a minute to wake you up. And that's where her being awake in pain, fighting. So, like, yeah, like, if there's a baby, you ain't gonna notice that. It's just trippy because, like, I also know that you get really attached to how you did shit, you know, as a parent. So, like, I always find these articles like fascinating because this is also going to be the arguing point of the next parent and grandparent. Because now this is what the parents are reading. Now it's the latest info. It's most likely the most correct info, right? They've had the research from the prior generation, and they're going to do this because they know it's what's best for their kid. But they didn't get raised like this, and now their parents are going to tell them, "No, you're wrong. This is how I did it for you, and you're here." And that's, you know, proof. But like, I already know, like, I'm just saying, like, if you're a young parent, and you hear this, be prepared that it's going to be a discussion, and know that, you gonna have to like leave real firm instructions with grandma and grandpa, cause they're not going to do this. Grandpa's going to sleep with the baby.
See, that now you sound like all of those advice columns that I keep reading where it's just like, what do I do? Because my mother-in-law, when I leave the kid with her, she will do all of this stuff that I don't want them. I don't want done. And it's just like, I mean, y'all going to have to fight.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that's what it is.
That's the advice.
That's the answer. Like,
yeah, you gotta, I figured have to out fight. Like,
yeah, it just is what it is. Like, I had to choose my battles, and I had to minimize, I had to increase the amount of times they saw my kids, but minimize the length.
Ooh, okay.
You know what I mean? I wanted my parents involved. I wanted my in-laws involved because I want their love. And the general input is usually good. But the specifics of, like, diet or rest, I knew I had more info. It just is, like, it, just like I know in my heart, even though I'm saying it now, I'm going to probably be wrong later. But I expect my kids to have more info than me. You know? And I know it's going to take a lot to admit that when I'm 60. And, you know, dealing with it. But it makes sense to me that my kids would have more data because there's literally been more time, you know? So, like, I get it. That makes sense to me. But it's hard to explain that to someone that's raised you. And in 99% of the arguments you guys have had so far, they've been right. You know, so, like, I get it. But, I had to, like, increase contact, minimize the amount of time each visit was. So that way, like, they felt like super involved. They gave me general input, but like I didn't have to deal with the fact that like I'm leaving them there 8 hours. So like there's going to be stuff done that I can't mitigate, you know? So that's my general advice. It's not always possible. Good luck to y'all. My kids are 12 and 13, B. I ain't dealing with that no more, B. Good luck.
Now you're getting advice from society in general.
Yeah.
That's not as pinpoint. It's much broader.
I'm telling my kids one thing, and they are hearing something very different on Discord.
so many other things. Oh my God.
What are we going to do, Sha? Finally.
That's your problem, bro. I don't have to worry about that. All I got is a cat, and I'm staying off of those websites. Ain't no one going to tell me how to raise this damn cat.
Oh, man. Finally, city destroys a mound of seized dirt bikes as part of a public safety effort. That's right. New York City Police Department crushed a massive pile of seized dirt bikes at a Brooklyn Auto Pound Tuesday, pledging to get the vehicles off the road for good. Standing before the mound of metal and rubber, Commissioner Keith Chance Sewell said she wanted to send a clear message to anyone who rides ATVs and dirt bikes, which are illegal to drive on the city and city roadways and sidewalks. We will seize the bike and we will destroy it, she said in a press conference. We take this very seriously because driving these motorbikes on city streets, on sidewalks, or in parks within housing developments is dangerous, it's reckless, and it's illegal. Sewell said the NYPD will use every tool at its disposal to rid the streets of dirt bikes, which are meant for recreational off-road use, not for busy urban neighborhoods. Police have reportedly seized about 2,000 ATVs and motorbikes so far this year in New York, almost double the number taken by this time in 2021. Mayor Eric Adams told reporters he's going to ask state lawmakers to tighten the requirements to purchase motorbikes so that potential buyers will have to show proof of insurance and registration. Otherwise, he said, people who are hurt in crashes could be on the hook for their own medical expenses.
Straight up. That's already the case, but okay. So the big picture here is what is not being said, because you had to have seen it. Our little fucking club hopping mayor was there too. Captain Bacardi was there. Mayor Pasta Cavassier was there, and he was there with a checkered flag that he waved around just before and gave a thumbs up just before they crushed all these motorbikes. Crushing motorbikes is the most wasteful shit. There is so much going on, and y'all are out here with these ridiculous photo ops crushing motorbikes. That's give me a break. They could have. Why didn't y'all just make a deal with a place? You know what I mean? Somewhere else where people can ride them. And fucking sold them or donated them or something. Get them out of the city. Yes, because it is not wise to be on these bikes in the street. Like, it's a lot. There's a lot going on, and to have them zipping up on you is a little terrifying, sure. But there are, in classic New Yorker form, no one thought about what's happening to the west of us. There's so much land. People could be tearing up with these goddamn motorbikes, and y'all could have just given it to them. You know what I mean? And they're tricked out. Like, they could have, they're so, y'all, someone could have gone mudding somewhere, and that's M-U-D-D-I-N apostrophe, mudding. Anywhere else. Like, there's so much, it's just such, I don't know. Just the view of all of them under the being crushed and like, yeah, it felt like it was out of a movie.
Yeah.
This whole thing feels like Jaws. Like, the whole thing just feels like everything that this mayor is doing and okaying, and just like all these big theatrical sets that they're putting up. And it's just like, hi, no one can afford to live here anymore. And all you're doing is raising the rents more and more. Everything is extremely expensive. If something were to happen to me now where I had to move out of this apartment, I could only go away from New York. Yeah. And even then, I couldn't go to where I'd want to go, which is Atlanta, because they tripping too. Like, the whole country, there's so many other crises going on. And this motherfucker wants to crunch up a bunch of Hot Wheels and wave a flag like he's in the Daytona 500. Get the fuck out of here, bruh. I'm so tired of this. This is exhausting. Chump, yo. He's such a chump.
Oh, man. Like, He's like low key becoming like top five like politician I want to snuff. Like, yo, he is climbing the ranks.
Oh, left he's and right. So bad.
Yo, like this, so much of this bothered me. Like, one, to your point, donate the bikes, give them away. Like, there's other places that could have used the bikes.
Absolutely.
You know, like right off the bat.
Would have wanted them. That could use them properly.
Yeah, they can use them legally, properly. We already right. do this with cars that we seize.
How about it? Y'all can't do an auction. Y'all can't take them someplace else and do an auction. Y'all could take them upstate.
Yeah.
Y'all could take them. It still could be in New York. You could take them upstate and do an auction. That's the first thing I thought was y'all didn't want to auction this off.
Dude.
I've been to car auctions. That's how I shop for cars. Is it car auctions? Y'all couldn't auction these off?
Yeah.
You and none dumbass. Of
these
been in
crazy accidents. These are fully functioning bikes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, this is completely, like, fair value bicycles that, like, range anywhere from $500 to $5,000. You just crushing them?
You're
bugging out. Like, that irked me right off the bat. Like, this was the best move for you. Two, you got to stop being, like, a mayor that like only does shit that sounds like a dare. Like this shit is bothering me over and over again. Like I feel like every time I see you on the news, it was because you had a talk with somebody that's like, y'all bet you can't get a press release for crushing bicycles and get a positive response. You'd be like, I bet you I can. Y'all bet you can't get a press release for being a vegan even though you eat burgers. Bet you I can. And he opted. Yeah. He keeps getting it. And it bothers me because it's like, yo, like, I'm going to give you the credit for being smart because you keep pulling these things off. But it pisses me off that you are wasting your intelligence focusing on these shitty ass press conferences. There's no way, there's no way that the most important thing for you to do as mayor on any day of the 4 years of your term was wave checkered flag while bikes get crushed. There's no way. I don't care what that day was.
This is villain shit. This is villain shit. This is villainy.
Dude, you are the mayor of New York City. There is other shit to do every day.
You ain't got nothing else to do?
My man. Wilding out, B. You really wanted to wave this flag your whole life.
Yeah.
That's all I saw.
Look, you know who I miss? I miss that dude, the old black guy with the gray like hair and the comb back, talking about rent is too damn high. He was running for mayor, and his whole agenda was rent is too damn high. I think he even had a rap song. He definitely had a video. He there's no way that he could do anything else. But I bet he wouldn't be in front of these. I mean, he seemed to be very single minded about rent being too damn high. And we should have listened to him. A king. We should have listened to him.
Straight up. I promise
you. This dummy.
I promise you, everyone that owns one of these bikes is riding them because the rent is too damn high. Straight up.
It's easier to get this.
It's just easier also, to get this.
Also, do you think they're not going to be able to replace these damn bikes?
Yeah.
What's happening? Come on.
Yeah, all you did was get the worst of the bike riders off of the road.
Yeah, yeah. The bunch who are sloppy. You think they're not going to adjust? They're not going to evolve? Just because you ain't evolved doesn't mean that people won't. Oh, boy. This guy's the worst.
If you would like to sponsor Gasser and Shalewa's dirt bike race in New York.
Oh, our auction? Where we auction off? Pictures of bikes.
All you gotta do is like, subscribe to the show, baby. If you are Apple or Spotify listener, we appreciate your ratings. 4 stars. You support this nonsense. Crushing bicycles. You know what I mean? This really feel like some villain shit. You right. Like somebody stole Eric's bike once. That's what I think happened.
Oh, yeah.
And he's getting even. And it wasn't even like they stole it off of a pole. Somebody took his bike. Like, you know how like they take sneakers from you on the bus? Yeah. Like, yo, what size are you? Somebody did that shit to him with the bike. You know what I mean? Like, yo, let me ride that real quick. And he saw that kid pedal away.
Never to be seen again.
That's it. Nah, saw him every day.
On the bike.
On the bike. I think that kid was from his hood, and he just had to eat that. Watch some kid bike pedal daily with his bike. Told his dad about it, and his dad said, "Well, you go get your bike back," and that's it. And he cried and sulked and became mayor instead.
Oh man, that was definitely our loss there.
I think so. Mm. 5 stars. You believe that? You know, this is the negativity of bullying. You know what I mean? Sometimes it makes other bullies. It happens. But Shalewa and I will not crush any bikes. Okay, we'll have a great event. You know. We'll also have a barbecue. It'll be cool. We'll give out burgers to the winner. It'll be an awesome event.
Whether you eat them or not, you will get a burger.
Vegan for everybody but Eric, if he comes, is what happens. If you have any articles you want us to cover, please DM us directly on Twitter and Instagram at Silky Jumbo at Gastro Almonte. With all that said, I am future dirt bike owner Gastro Almonte. You know what? Always with the dirt bike riding, Shalewa was sharp. She's been doing it. She's
out here mudding. That's it. Out here mudding.
Mad experience out there. You know what I mean? Shalewa got 3 ATVs. Can't even ride a regular
bike. I don't know why I'm so upset about this, but I am.
This has been a War Report. Catch y'all next time. Peace.